Hi. I'm very happy to be with you in the 11th sharing on St. Thérèse of Lisieux. Begin with a short prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our minds with your truth, and fill our hearts with your love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We continue these sharings on St. Thérèse because we're called to be saints. She was a wonderful saint. She's a saint that God raised up to give us new courage and new hope. She teaches how to spiritualize our friendships, how to live the gospel, how to practice the commandments, and how to love one another in a mature way. And really, that's what it's about, to grow into a spiritual maturity. We'll be discussing this in this sharing, Thérèse's novice mistress. As we know, she wasn't really fully a novice mistress. She was the assistant novice mistress. But she was the spiritual person that God had put in the novitiate for her novices. She writes to Maria the Trinity, "People do not think that my little way is a restful one, full of sweetness and consolation. It's really quite the opposite. To offer oneself to God as a victim is to offer oneself to suffering, because when one loves, one suffers. So if one is completely dedicated to loving, one must expect to be sacrificed unreservedly." Now, this is true for marriage. It's true for monastic vocations. It's true if you're a doctor, you know, you're called at night. You know, this is not the type of spirituality that is reserved only for a nun. That, you know, in our vocation, in our jobs, in our life, that your children expect to be for you to sacrifice for them. They don't actually verbalize it, but they know that you will give them what they need. And what they need sometimes is very difficult to obtain. You know, I know I work in a hospital, and many of the doctors are away from their children a lot, and it's very difficult for them. It's not a restful one. So she was living her little way. She calls them little nothings. I made the resolution to give myself more than ever to a mortified life. And mortification means just going out of the way to be a little special with other people and with ourselves. When I say mortified, that's not to give the impression I was doing acts of penance. I never made any. Far from resembling the beautiful souls who practice tremendous mortifications, I had no attraction to this, doing the great things, you know. My mortification consisted in breaking my will, always so ready to impose itself on others. That's a powerful little statement. Breaking my will, always so ready to impose itself on others. In holding back a reply, we don't feel you can say a curt word, or little services without any recognition. It was not leaning my back against the support when seated. It was through these little nothings to become the fiancé of Jesus. And I cannot express how much this waiting left me with such sweet memories. These three passed, only to know that Mother Gonzague had such great trust in St. Thérèse. On the other hand, if Mother Gonzague saw the Thérèse to love her too much, she would take her out of office. "You're not assistant novice mistress today, you're out." So Thérèse was out. Now, for most of us, that would be a humiliating experience, and it most probably was for Thérèse. I mean, she was a human being like the rest of us. But she knew that Mother Gonzague was a wounded person. How many of us work with wounded people? How many of us have a boss that is unreasonable, cold, because they're wounded? And a lot of time, wounded people come across as very angry, but the wounds cause them to be angry. So then she'd reinstate her. There's a deep affection that flows between Thérèse and Mother Maria Gonzague. And the novice used to get very upset with Mother Gonzague, because they knew that they loved Thérèse, and then she's out of office, then she's in office. And so the balance there was difficult. And Maria the Trinity would call Mother Gonzague Lulu, the wolf. "Where's the wolf?" And Thérèse said, "You couldn't call her a wolf. Please, don't do that, because she's our superior, and she has a problem, but we must love her." And I think that she always brought out the fact that love covers everything. You know, and above all, this the deep affection that flowed between Thérèse and Maria the Trinity helped Maria the Trinity to live the truth of the gospel. You know, she was always giving these nudges to her novices. She said on her deathbed, the last day of her life, it seems to me I have never sought anything but the truth. And that's a very powerful statement. She wanted to live in the truth of the gospel. And this little way that the Lord taught her was a way of confidence and love, total confidence that God is coming to our aid and God wants to work His graces in us to give us what, you know, we don't imagine what God is going to give us. We know that He gives us Himself in the Eucharist. We know that we have His love, but He wants to form us into something very beautiful, something very personable, a free spirit. To me, Isaiah 61 says it all. The Lord has given us a new heart. Give me a new heart. And this is exactly what He did for Tres. She had the wisdom, you know, to ask for that. And I think we all should ask for that. You know, the heart is where our spiritual life is lived. You know, what really touches us comes to the heart. The mind is important. We need the mind. But when we're moved and touched to the quick, it concerns our heart. Now, the heart is full of, as we said so often, light and darkness. And we're attracted to the darkness. And that's where the battle comes. That's where the struggle. The darkness says to tell that person off because they're no good and they were unfair, they were unjust. And the lightness is saying, now, maybe I should think this over, pray over it, because this person is wounded. Will it help or hinder the person? If you're going to correct a person or come down on a person, never act in an emotional way, as Trez always tells us. Because when we act in an emotional way, what happens is the emotions take over. And we say what we don't mean to say. We become very cruel, very self-centered. And we hurt the other person. Believe me, I've done that. And you regret it bitterly when you feel a temperament, a strong feelings for something. What Trez said is, wait a while. Just wait until they calm down. She's a good psychologist. Wait until your feelings calm down if you're mad at your husband. If your husband comes home at night and he's a hard day, he's had one terrible day at the office, he comes in and he's kind of nasty to you, rather than replying immediately, think and pray a little bit. Maybe he's taking his anger out on you, but why? Why? And then during the meal, if you haven't acted in a way that's really difficult, he may say, well, I had a terrible day at the office. I'm sorry I was such a grouch when I came in. Trez is a gentle spirit. She understands human nature. You know, giving spiritual nourishment to her novices was very difficult, because for any of us that I have in the monastery, I see several seminarians and several different women for spiritual direction. And she says here something very beautiful. In a way, you got to seek self-seeking in spiritual direction. You can't tell your directee or the person you're talking to do this or don't do that. You have to go along with what the Holy Spirit's doing in their lives. You know, she says, if a novice says something particularly interesting, then abruptly changes the subject, you or I would say, well, what were you saying to you? That was really interesting. Trez would let it go and let them go into a different subject because she was interested in what they needed to say. She was a very good psychologist, good psychoanalyst. You know, she loved moments of silence. Now, how many of us, when there's silence at table or when there's silence when you're talking to somebody, you want to fill in the gap and keep talking and joke around, which isn't always bad. But Teresa understood that periods of silence when you're talking to somebody in spiritual direction, you're talking to your pastor, you're talking to a dear friend, the silence means that something is going on inside that person. They're going deeper into themselves, and then they come to a truth that's maybe very difficult to express. So she let those periods of silence be with the person. She did not want to interfere with what was going on in a deeper level of Maria the Trinity. And again, Teresa says so clearly, she was absolutely convinced that she was incapable of being novice mistress on her own, as if she could be a good novice mistress. She relied on the Holy Spirit. She had no training as novice mistress. She went to no session. She didn't take any courses. But she used the example of a bowl of milk. Now, the bowl knows that they're not drinking the bowl they're drinking. And Trez had to give. They're drinking in what the Holy Spirit was teaching them through Trez. Trez was just an instrument. Remember, she said in the last time, if the Lord could find a weaker soul, There's many of us who read her life. People love Therese. They pray to her. They get roses, you know, because when you pray to Therese, you do. And we put her up on a pedestal, and we forget that this whole doctrine, her little way, was given to us to help us. She said it would be, I think Therese would be very upset if someone said, well, that's great for St. Therese, but that's not for me. I could never do that. The point is, we can do it. The little things, by being charitable when we don't, by saying hello to somebody when we don't want to say hello. That's a big thing, you know, to hold back, you know, we're feeling with resentment. To really pray when we don't feel like praying. You know, we talked about Therese's prayer in church and how she'd have 2 hours of mental prayer a day alone before the Blessed Sacrament, alone with the community. And it was very difficult at times for Therese to pray. In fact, Maria the Trinity had a wonderful, a wonderful distraction. She was so distracted during prayer, she said to Therese, I'm just getting so uptight at pull signs on the wall with my hands. And Therese said, well, as long as the other sisters don't see you, do it, but don't make a spectacle of yourself. She also had a little top that you'd spin. And Therese said, if you want to go spin the top, go up to the attic and spin it and relax and take a little recreation. Therese understood the human condition. And, you know, it wasn't easy for Therese in that particular monastery because now there were four sisters. And the four sisters, the three sisters, if a letter would come in from Leonie, who was in another monastery, Marie would get it, Agnes would get it, Celine would get the letter, and then maybe they would even forget Therese. So Leonie wrote to Therese saying, you never answered my letter. And Therese said, I haven't answered your letter for the very simple fact I didn't read it yet. The last one in the family had its ups and had its downs. In her letter 175 on page 899, she begins to sign your very little sister. Now this is important because she's entering into her February 24th. She says in 1895, she says, your very little sister. She uses that term for the first time. Now not only little sister, but very little sister. And that's very important moment because she's entering into her little way in the sense of realizing that God is doing so much in her and how little she is really doing. Most of us normal people feel that we have to make God love us. If only God loved us. And we talked about this several conferences ago, that when we look at a crucifix, and we just sit there and watch this crucifix, whatever crucifix, most of us, how can we doubt that God loves us? But most people do. It's very hard to convince people, if they haven't had a happy home life or a loving mother and father, they don't feel their... Therese knew by experience that God loved her. She knew that we're all sinners, but we're converted sinners, but we're all sinners. She said, she thought of St. Peter. So Peter meets the Lord and he says, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Jesus didn't depart from Peter. Not. What Jesus teaches so clearly, what Jesus teaches through Therese so clearly, is God will never abandon us. God never stops loving us. Remember the beautiful scripture, while we were sinning, the problem is not with God loving us. The problem is somehow we have to convince ourselves that God does love us. As we are. I think the problem that Therese is talking about is we stop loving him by our lack of faith. Or worse, we look too much at ourselves. And Therese is saying when you look too much, you lose Jesus. There's a wonderful French expression, à force de me chercher, c'est toi que j'ai perdu. Because of looking so much at myself, I lost you. Now, that could apply to Jesus. That could apply to a young woman or a young man who's in love with somebody. If you're looking to be loved so much, you're not looking at the other person. You lose that other person. On a human level, you lose them. On a spiritual level, if we're looking too much for our own welfare, and if we're nesting, we're not, you know, in monasteries we say there's such a thing called nesters. Well, the nesters are the people that kind of are there, but they're not there. They're not giving themselves to other people. They're not coming to prayer. They're not really into it. They're interested in their own needs. And this is, if we look too much to our own needs, we get bored, we get very lonely, we get very unhappy. Because the flow that takes place between the Holy Spirit and the soul, the Holy Spirit's pouring freedom, pouring happiness into our soul, and love begets love. So, you know, Therese is kind of giving us a nudge here and asking us to come out and shake us up a bit as who we really are. She says very clearly, I am constantly discovering new lights. And this is exactly what she means here. That these new lights are her little way, how to love other people, how to accept her, especially her littleness and her poverty. An article written by John Arantero, the priest, says very clearly here, this Dominican priest talks about the mystical life. And, you know, he says very clearly, John Arantero is up for beatification. He wrote in The Mystical Life of St. Therese of the Child Jesus, he writes very beautifully, the operation of these gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is undoubtedly the secret of her conquest and the immense good she did to all around her, giving away in handfuls the riches she had plentifully received. And this is true for all of us. The more we experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit in us, the more we can share with our brothers and sisters. So if Brother Leo Mary has more gifts of the Holy Spirit, should I be jealous of that? No. If he has more gifts of the Holy Spirit, that's a joy for me to enjoy and say, well, then maybe I can do that. Or if I have the gift of the Holy Spirit in a fuller sense than someone else, the person should rejoice. It's exactly what Therese said. Therese is not raised up by God because of Therese. God poured this doctrine into her for us. She says, it isn't important that that Therese gives you the message. It's important that the message has been gotten across. That's the beauty of it. She's very aware that she's an instrument of God. And I think when we're an instrument of God, how can we claim any credit? And this is the operation of gifts. It's such a wonderful thing. And you say that the natural question is, well, how do you make the gifts work? You know, how do you get them operate? I think through prayer, love, and suffering. Through prayer, when we're more docile, especially we take our time to sit before the Eucharist, to sit before the Blessed Sacrament, to say the Rosary, to do the Stations, to continue to love. The Holy Spirit cannot abide in a heart that's not loving, with genuine love. It just the contradiction is too severe. For some people, and I think for most of us, it's quite true that it's quite indisputable that her intimate union with God became closer and closer, and she was completely possessed, and all her faculties were captivated by him, so that she came to know it was not she, but Jesus working in her. Because intellectually we can say we understand that God works in us, God works in everyone if they let him. But this is her discovery here, that the closer, you know, union with God, the more our intellect and our heart opens up, and we realize, look what God is doing within us. Yourself, look at what God is doing with you, and the number of people that you've met, your family, your friends. When you were down and out, God would send somebody into your life. And this happens again and again. So we can always say that the Lord is at our side. When I'm charitable, she says, it is Jesus who is working within me. The more I am united to him, the more I love all my sisters. And the less I'm united to him, the less, she didn't say that, but that's the following is, the less I'm united to God, the less I love people. So God's action in the soul is really the mystical life. It's a very highfalutin term, it's a beautiful term, but that's, the mystical life is God or Jesus or the Holy Trinity in us doing what we can't do. But why is it that many of us don't have this mystical life? Arantero says we have a low degree of purity in our life. That is not just sexual purity, but we're maybe very worldly and we're full of ourselves. frequent venial sins, we just kind of let go. Excessive activity, when we're real busy, 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 you watch over their hearts. You know, we take time in our society for what we think we have to do. There are some workaholics, it's true, but many people, it's important, will do it. And I think that the more we give to prayer, the more that we grow. And this is certainly something that is not easy to understand, God, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But the fruits of the Holy Spirit do give one a sense of inner peace, and we become more focused. When we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, it's not that our life is easy, but we have kind of an inner strength that helps us deal with different situations that come upon us. Remember, there's one thing that St. Bernadette said, that the young saint that saw Our Lady at Lourdes. We're not responsible for our first reaction, but we're responsible for the second. Somebody says something to you that's really nasty, and you just say, well, and you let out a few words. That is an emotional reaction, and that really, Bernadette says, we're not. But the second time, when we reflect, we're responsible. So Daniel Lange is a very wonderful, we'll talk about him the next time, a Frenchman who writes on love. He says, deep in the heart of everyone, God is weeping tears of love. Who in God is love giving itself, the Holy Spirit. That this thirst and hunger of God to come into our lives. If we could just experience that deep hunger that God has to be united. And he waits for what? Our response. And she responded. That's why treasure is so energizing. She responded to God's love. With God's love, that's the beautiful part of it. Like, we don't have to take our human love and wrap it up and make it divine. The Holy Spirit gives us God's love, and we respond with it. Like, when we're flying high spiritually, we're flying with God's help, not our own help. So we have to be careful not to suffocate our heart in worldly goods or worldly ambitions, and that slowly choke out our inner freedom. So let's rejoice in the fact that we have this little saint who is encouraging us to really grow and not to be afraid of the Lord, not to be afraid of what the Holy Spirit has for us. There is no such thing as an impossible case. There is no such thing as someone who God does not love. That doesn't exist. So this particular sharing can conclude with, God isn't loved enough. God is not loved enough. And we'll talk about that the next time. This really bothered Therese, and it should bother me. It does bother me, and I think it bothers you at times, that God is not loved enough. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And may Our Lady cover you in her mantle of protection in holy wisdom. Thank you.